Rat Pack, where you at?
And boom goes the dynamite.
Yo, what's up? It's Thursday, August 22nd. This is The Rant. I'm Jeff. Got a nice little show for you today. May not have enough time to hit up Bed Bath & Beyond and Home Depot, but we are going to cover the Jahan Dotson trade. Yes, this just happened a few minutes before I hit record here, so I'll unpack that on both sides, both for the Eagles and the Commanders. I also want to talk about a major mistake that a lot of people make when it comes to overall values and when you change scoring settings. So say you have 6 point per passing touchdown or some kind of point per completion or tight end premium, any of those things. Talk about that mistake. Before I get into it, if you are like me, you might have a draft this weekend. I have one on Saturday. That's 2 days from now. It is the Farm League draft. We draft on a farm. It's in suburban Philadelphia. It's not like I'm in the sticks or anything, but pretty much in your mind is exactly what it is, on a farm. And well, you might have a draft on Saturday. It may not be on a farm, but you may need to prep for it. If that is the case, I got you. FTNFantasy.com, promo code RATPACK for 10% off. You need cheat sheets? I got you. 16 different cheat sheets. If you need to do some last minute prep, I got you covered in the game plan draft guide. If you need to look at some strategy ideas, I have you covered in the roadmap article. If you need to make keeper decisions, I have you covered in the keeper value chart. We have custom auction values so you can put your settings in for that. This is all just for draft. Like, you get the subscription for 365 days, and there's so much more in season, including all of our proprietary stats, insights from me, waiver wire rankings, all the goods, man, all the goods, in-season rankings, projections, so much more. FTNFantasy.com, promo code RATPACK. All right, let's get into the Jahan Dotson stuff. So Dotson was traded to the Philadelphia Eagles along with a fifth round pick. The Eagles gave them a third round pick. And 2 sevenths, it looks like. Ultimately, when you do all the math, it looks like this was basically a third round pick. I'm going to tell you, first and foremost, I mean, there was some momentum towards this as it was. We heard the head coach, and I made reference to this on the podcast on Tuesday. Like, the head coach said they're searching for a wide receiver too, like their number two receiver. They didn't currently, in other words, have that receiver on their roster. And meanwhile, a lot of us thought that Jahan Dotson was that receiver. So tough news there on that front. That leaves them now with McLaurin, who, oh boy, could he be set up for a big year. Likely Diami Brown. We might see some Olamide Zaccheaus there as well in the perimeter, but likely Diami Brown. And then, I mean, you could pretty much ink in, I'm thinking, Luke McCaffrey at this point in the slot, because they were trying to use Jahan Dotson in the slot. It wasn't quite working. Now, does that mean McCaffrey SZN season? I don't think so. I mean, you're going to have a running quarterback. You have a backfield that should be heavily involved here. You have pass-catching tight ends, a couple of them, in Zach Ertz and Ben Sinnott. So I don't think it's massive, but, you know, I have late-round exposure to McCaffrey in best ball. Like, I love when I get the McLaurin-Daniels stack, because then I'll just star McCaffrey for later, and then I'll go back and grab him before he's off the board. Redraft-wise, I think he'll be more of a watch player. I will have everything updated. Like, the most common question, I'll say it till I'm blue in the face, every Saturday morning during draft season, which is really the three main Saturdays, I update the draft board, all the cheat sheets, everything, so that it's all fresh. And believe me, I want to do this because I have a draft on Saturday too. I'm not just going to be greedy here and do it for myself and not for you, the subscribers. So yeah, I'll update Luke McCaffrey. Is he going to move up? Sure. Is he going to move up a ton? Probably not. Is McLaurin going to move up? Maybe a little bit, honestly. Maybe just a little bit. I don't think this hurts Jaden Daniels too, by the way. They needed to get somebody in there, or they need to have people in there that they believe in. And this coaching staff, which is a different coaching staff than the one, a different regime than the one who drafted Jahan Dotson, don't believe in him. Now, it is a weird one because they're trading within their division to a divisional rival. Typically, you don't want to help those teams out. So that is really saying something here about Jahan Dotson. And I will tell you this, like, he has 2 years left on his rookie deal. His base salary this year is $1.5 million. Next year is $2.7 million. He was a first round player, but, you know, he hasn't lived up to that billing, but still, to get rid of a player who is costing you this year 1.6 against your cap, 1.8% against your cap next year, it really isn't a big indictment. Like, they save money technically this year. They saved just under $2.1 million against the cap after trading him, and then next year would be $2.7 million against the cap. But still, that's a major indictment. And I'll tell you, the first name that popped into my head when all of this went down, I thought, oh no, is he Chase Claypool? Like, Chase Claypool, remember, very early on, things looked great. He showed some massive upside in that first season with the Pittsburgh Steelers. We had 9 touchdowns that year. Second season really wasn't terrible, but obviously didn't live up to that billing from the touchdown standpoint. He had 59 catches, 860 yards, and two scores. The scores were obviously the disappointment. The third year, he only was with the team for half the season, and they traded him away. Jahan Dotson here, third year, traded him away. That's not good. So the first question I was asked was, I don't think anybody is looking at A.J. Brown here. So the question was, does this impact Devontae Smith? No, it doesn't. I mean, Brown and Smith are still the, you know, skinny Batman and swole Batman, or in the other order. They are 1 and 1A in that offense. And bringing in a slot receiver doesn't change anything. The only thing that this may say is maybe Paris Campbell isn't as healthy or as good as maybe the Eagles had hoped. But, and also that Aeneas Smith hasn't come along. They drafted Smith in the 5th round. He has the potential to be a long-term slot receiver, but maybe he hasn't come along to the point where they're happy with him. They were using Johnny Wilson in that spot, but let's face it, Johnny Wilson's enormous, and like, that'd be kind of fun to watch a big slot out there, but he probably is better suited to the perimeter, which is where I would view him more likely as like a AJ Brown backup than a potential slot receiver. So Jahan Dotson can do that. Okay, where does he slot in terms of targets? Brown is 1, Smith is 2. Is Goddard 3 or is Saquon? Either one, whoever you put at 3, the other guy is at 4. So Jahan Dotson would be, if he is the starter, the number 5 in this offense, and the offense is going to run a bit. I mean, you don't have Saquon Barkley and Jalen Hurts if you're not going to run a little bit. So there's really no value for Dotson. He falls off a cliff. Like, he will actually be coming off the draft board. He may end up still being in watch territory. So on draft board 2.0, I have watch list players. And actually, if you look at Monday's update for the draft boards, you'll see Luke McCaffrey was one of the watch list. He'll move up into somewhere in the draftable range. I'm not updating rankings just yet. Like I said, this literally just happened right before I hit record. So Dotson, who was in a void, as I mentioned on Tuesday, he's going to move out. I may put him in the watch list. I don't know yet. We'll see. We'll see how things work out when I run projections, but that's not happening right this second. So there you go. There's the initial take. And I mean, it's a big indictment for Jahan Dotson. I know that a lot of people, and I'm seeing it, like, I'm in the Philly area, so I'm in these text chains and people are excited. All these Eagles fans liking it. And I guess it's good for the team, but think about it. Like, he was a first round selection in 2022, and here we are in 2024. We haven't even made it through, you know, to the start of the season, and his team has already moved on from him. You know, halfway through his rookie deal, gone. It's not good. Okay, so let me talk about this other thing really quickly here. The mistake that people make with overall values. How do you establish overall values? Like, so for example, let's say that your league is going to say add point per completion. Or it could be 6-point passing touchdown, but point per completion is even bigger. Because if you add that, like, your top scoring quarterbacks are going to score like 700 points. And then McCaffrey, or whoever you have as the top scorer who isn't a quarterback, is going to score like, what, 350-ish? Let's just, you know, throw those round numbers. So that top quarterback is going to score double the amount of points of McCaffrey. So the question I get is, how will you adjust your draft plan? Where do you draft quarterbacks? And it's my answer, which throws people off, is I'm not adjusting. And there's a reason for it. We don't establish overall value based on how many points you score. That is not how we do it. We establish overall value based on how many more points you score than the guy who is likely to be available at that position on waivers, the top guy. So at quarterback, let's say Josh Allen comes in as your top projected guy in this new scoring format. We don't establish the value of by comparing Josh Allen to Christian McCaffrey. We compare Josh Allen to the most likely on waivers, which would be in a 12-team league, I'm going to say it's about quarterback 19. Like, there's some debate as to where we set this replacement level number at, but usually it's around 19, maybe it's 20, but let's say it's 19. We compare Josh Allen to the projected points for number 19 at quarterback. Now, for McCaffrey, we don't compare him to RB19 because RB19 is going to be drafted long, long, long before we get to the end of the draft. He's not going to be available on waivers. It's probably more like RB48, 49, 50, somewhere around there. So we compare that. How many more points does McCaffrey score than RB, let's call it 48? How many more points does Allen score than QB19? And when you do that, you're going to find that McCaffrey is going to score a lot more points by projection than RB48 compared to QB19 and Josh Allen. So that's how you sell. It's called value over replacement. And so if I add, you know, point per completion, or if I change from a 4-point to a 6-point passing touchdown, the thing that people often fail to realize is that doesn't just apply to Josh Allen. It's not a points per Josh Allen league, right? It applies to Josh Allen as much as it applies to Derek Carr or Will Levis. Or heck, if Justin Fields gets the start, Justin Fields as well. It applies to all of them. And therefore, it's relative to the position. And believe it or not, your top scoring quarterbacks are still scoring relatively about the same more than the replacement player as they would even if you didn't change that point per completion, 6-point passing touchdown, whatever. It's only the perception of the drafters that changes. And so you say to me, your league mates draft quarterbacks really early. Great. But do they keep drafting quarterbacks? Everybody drafts 4 quarterbacks? No. Some of them do draft 2. Some of them do draft 2 before you even draft 1. And guess what? That's okay. Because when they're drafting 2 quarterbacks, they're leaving wide receivers or running backs or maybe a wheelhouse tight end on the board for us. Their mistake is our benefit. And eventually they stop drafting quarterbacks, and that's when we can still apply the same exact strategy. It doesn't change the overall value. Now, you might shuffle around like a quarterback who isn't going to throw for as many passing touchdowns in a 6-point passing touchdown league, like a mobile quarterback. Maybe they move down in your quarterback rankings, which would then push them down the board a little bit. But then equally, other quarterbacks will move up in your quarterback rankings. It's the position that may change, but not the overall. And that's the same is true for tight end premium. Tight end premium is not really tight end premium. You're just adding an extra 0.5 per reception. In most formats, it's like 1.5 per reception for tight ends. It's going to change the perception of your opponents, sure. And I will tell you this, I probably don't get a wheelhouse tight end in a tight end premium league. That's okay. I'll just go late round. That's all right. If they're going to overvalue it, then I'm going to make them pay with the other value that they actually leave on the board. And, you know, I will tell you this, the only thing that will change overall value isn't changing your scoring settings. It's changing your roster requirements, your starting lineup requirements. And I'll give you a prime example that you know, even if you don't know. Superflex /2 quarterback. In those leagues, your replacement player is no longer QB19. It's like QB36 or 37. And Josh Allen is going to score a crap load more points than that quarterback. So therefore, yeah, he does come in as highest on the board. Now, I have a strategy that I like to apply to that format, and it's a well-thought-out strategy. It's not like I'm shooting from the hip here, but still, that's why he comes in top in the rankings there, overall rankings there, as opposed to in a 1-quarterback league. So that is a common mistake that I see a lot of people make. They want to adjust their strategies there when the reality is they shouldn't be. The only time you're adjusting strategies is if you're having like a significant add. Like a second quarterback is a significant add. A second tight end is a significant add. Going from 2 to 3 wide receivers is not a significant add. And that doesn't change my strategy one way or the other. But when the 1Z positions become 2Z positions, quarterback and tight end, that's a big change. All right, so you guys keep emailing me. I'm going to answer a whole bunch of questions right after this. All right, and we are back. Bunch of emails to get through. A lot of different questions from you today. I mean, you guys just won't leave me alone. I kid, of course. The rantpodjr@gmail.com. You never know who's listening to these things. I mean, I see the download numbers. I see that we actually have people in Thailand. There's like one person in Thailand who listens. Shout out Thailand, who listens to this podcast. But you never know, and it is really cool to see you guys all emailing in and asking questions. So let's get to the first one here. This is from Ross. He said, Fab/waivers. He said, what's the optimal way to set up Fab for waivers, free agency, all of that? He said, sleeper waivers have to run every day at the same time. I don't think that's true. I think it has to run once, and then you can open it up to first come, first serve. That's how I always play it. So I don't like Fab runs every single day. It kind of annoys me. I'm in a CBS league that has that. The optimal way to run Fab, and this is sort of the industry standard, and Fab is free agent auction bidding. So the optimal way to do so is to have an initial Fab run, and the standard night is Tuesday night. So that way you can put your bids in on Tuesday. They process in the middle of the night. And then when you wake up, you see who you get. And then from there, every other player now has cleared waivers and has become a free agent. When they're a free agent, you pick them up. They're first come, first serve. So in the first thing in the morning, if player X did not get claimed via Fab, you could run out and pick him up. And that's often what I do with team defenses. I don't feel the need to spend any Fab on team defenses. If I do, it's the minimum bid. But either way, that's how I would approach it. That is really optimal there. Now, let's say the middle of the week, I drop a player X on Wednesday. That player would then still need to clear waivers. So Fab would apply to him, and your commissioner system will do this, but it wouldn't apply to any of the other players who have already cleared waivers. And that happens each week. So that's usually the approach there with Fab and waivers. EJ said, am I crazy? Plus beer recommendation. Okay, so usually if you have to ask if you're crazy, guys, you are. But here you go. He says he's keeping Jonathan Taylor at $15 in a straightforward, the only difference, he had two flex spots here, but a straightforward league, $200 budget, one quarterback. He said, am I crazy for allocating $140 to $150 of my budget to wide receiver and tight end? Yeah, that's a little aggressive for me. I don't think in terms of overall dollars. I think in terms of percentages. So usually it's about 45 to 50% at wide receiver, though this last one I ended up spending 53% because I spent only 3% on quarterback and 8% on tight end. So I was 2% short on both of them. So I added that over to wide receiver. You would be significantly higher here. You know, it looks like you would probably be about 60 to 65% on wide receiver. That's going to leave you way too thin at running back. Now, I don't mind being a little light at running back, and obviously you're ahead of the game because you're keeping Taylor at a discount, but that would leave way, 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 way too thin. I would not like that. So yeah, for me, if you have to ask if it's crazy, usually it is. He's recommending some IPA here. You know, usually I can't find everything you guys get, but I appreciate the recommendation. Usually I always try different stuff. You know, I'll stick to breweries more so than actual types, like specific varieties of beer, because the breweries, a lot of the ones that I like, are making different stuff all the time. But appreciate it, EJ. All right. Michael, question regarding the mechanics of the 2.0 draft board. Wow. Okay. I never thought of it in terms of mechanics, but here we go. Let's see what Michael has to say. He said, I understand the reason for your strategy and it makes sense to me, so I'm fully embracing it this year. He said he's been doing a couple practice drafts to practice the mechanics of using the sheet, specifically when he doesn't get two players from the same team, or making sure he doesn't get two players from the same team. So this question has to do with the wheelhouse tight ends. When I get to the fifth round, and how to use the player rankings to decide? Well, there's no rankings on here except for the top 24. He said, in the practice in round five, the only wheelhouse tight end left was George Kittle. At this point, he had an anchor from round one, three receivers. The highest ranked receiver at that point was Amari Cooper. In a situation like this, do you take Kittle over a higher ranked receiver? Well, see, this is the thing. The rankings don't matter. And I think that's what people miss about this type of league. You know, these aren't rankings. It's a draft board. And we're applying strategy to the draft board. So in the beginning, the first three rounds, I have a very specific strategy. This is detailed over at ftnfantasy.com. Then from there, it will determine essentially what I do going forward. Now, I'm going to be hitting wide receiver very hard. But the wheelhouse strategy for me is, in most drafts, I do want to get one of those top seven tight ends, not the top two, though. So ranks 3 through 7. I want to get one of those guys, but I don't always get them. Now, in this instance here, if you're telling me that the well is dried up and you're telling me I don't have Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, or Christian McCaffrey, then yeah, I'm going Kittle because the rankings don't matter. It's the strategy that matters. And then I'll go back to wide receiver after that point. And probably in this league, I would venture to say that I'm going to give strong consideration to wide receiver in round 7, depending on the running backs on the board and the wide receivers on the board, because I already have, if I'm going hero RB, if I already have that anchor RB, then I have that flexibility. Now, he also notes 11 quarterbacks were off the board at this point. If it's super flex, wow, is that late? You're getting to wait all day long, but you really have to move away from the idea of rankings, overall rankings, if you're going to use a draft board. It's probably closer to a tier-based approach, but it isn't quite a tier-based approach. It's more of a holistic approach to drafting. So hopefully that helps, Michael. All right, moving on. Jarrett. Checking in. Post-draft roster management. Okay. All right. I think I know where he might be going with this one, but let's see. All right. He said he just wrapped up his home league draft this past weekend. Out of the 9 spot, he went wide receiver, running back. Picked Derrick Henry. Nice. Then wide receivers until the 7th round. No tight ends, I'm assuming, in this one, but we'll see. He said, now as I look at everyone's roster, I cannot help but see how much more power I have at the position. Oh, I know where he's going. He's going to ask me if he should trade wide receivers away. Let's see. I'm reading these organically. Of course, now with nothing but time and idle hands until the regular season starts, the temptation to tinker with the roster is creeping in. He said, I know it doesn't make much sense to do anything but watch the preseason games, training camp for injury news, but do you have any general advice for the in-between time between the draft and the regular season? All right, good. He didn't say he was trying to make trades. You drafted your team for a reason. Now it's time to wait. Hurry up and wait. There's nothing you can do right now. I mean, yeah, if injuries happen, maybe you might want to address those, but otherwise, nothing to do. We just wait. You know, play some preseason DFS this weekend, enjoy your Labor Day weekend, and then we get to it in the beginning of the season. And I'm also a big stickler in the beginning of the season for giving these guys a little bit of a runway. I'm willing to give them several weeks, not just cut them loose immediately if they have a bad game. Like, you trust the reason why you drafted these dudes and go from there. He said, bonus question if you have time. Yeah, I got time. He said he's the commissioner of this home league. He loves coming up with creative ways to determine the draft order. This year, everybody got randomly matched, that is, with a player on the men's USA basketball team to determine the order. There are a couple guys who barely played on that team. So hopefully, for the folks that got those, they're all right with that. But anyway, do I have any fun, interesting draft order stories? I just like 100yardrush.com. It's a cool randomizer. I find that people actually get really into it. And it's one of those things, too, that if you do it and not everybody is there to watch it, you can play the replay of it. Like, there's a video replay of it. So I like that one. That's probably the best one. The other one that I've done in the past and I don't mind is everybody randomly picks a number out of a hat and you get that number of horse in the Kentucky Derby, and the order they finish in is the draft order or the order you pick your order. I don't mind that one either. All right. Appreciate you, Jarrett. Cody coming in and said keepers and round considerations. He's in a 10-team league where each manager can and usually does keep 2 players, 1-round penalty. So it's a 1-round escalation from the previous season, he says. His question, when considering round players, round value for non-keeper players, should I just subtract 2 from my draft board? No, the draft board stays the same. Keepers are just picks you make before the draft starts. Everything else stays the same. A keeper league is just a redraft league. That's all it really is. So no, nothing changes there in terms of values on players. Appreciate you, Corey. Dale has a best ball question. He said, I always like stacking in best ball tournaments. Yes, I do. He is yet to hear my plan to stack in best ball 12-team leagues. Okay, so I don't do that. And I don't play in just a 12-team best ball league. I really don't find much joy in that. If I'm going to play in a regular 12-team league, I want to make start-sit decisions. I want to make waiver claims and maybe even trades. Who knows? I want to do all that stuff. I actually want to manage the roster. The point that I think best ball really, the itch that it scratches is the tournaments. It's the sort of bridging the gap between a DFS tournament and the concept of season-long fantasy football. So I don't play in those, but if I did, I would just use redraft strategy. Ray checking in. He said, wanted to get my take on a home league regular season format. Specifically, he said, what is my opinion on removing head-to-head matchups and instead going with overall record for final seeding? For example, each week your score goes up against the rest of the league. Oh, so this is what's called an all play. So he said you could, if you had the highest scoring that week, you would go 11-0 because you'd beat all the 11 teams. Yeah, that's called all play. That's I've been in leagues with that. It said, you know, this would eliminate the teams who kind of have a weaker schedule, something along those lines. So with this, honestly, I don't like it. I'll be honest, but that's me. I'm not saying that people shouldn't do it. I don't really like points only. I don't like all play. I don't like median. So when you play one game against your opponent and then one game against the median score for the week, I just like the head to head, but that's what I like. I mean, over the years, I've become much more simplistic with my tastes for season long fantasy football. Honestly, I don't even really enjoy keepers that much anymore. I just want a straight redraft because I'm doing all these other formats and betting and all kinds of stuff like that, that sometimes the old school, the OG type leagues are just fine with me. And variance is going to be part of it. You know, cutting out, I get the idea of cutting out the variance and that works for some people. It's just not my speed. But hey, if your league wants to do it, then do it, you know. Pitch it to the league, and if they vote it in, then there you go. And if they don't want to do it, then you got your answer as well with that one, Ray. All right, let me move on to Mark. Sort of draft strategy question is his subject. All right, he said he's a huge fan. Appreciate that. He said he's been listening to the SiriusXM show for years, and I really changed the way he plays fantasy football. Well, that's awesome, man. That's it's a weird thing that it is a goal to help people play this game a little bit better. You know, it's a silly game when you think about it, but I am glad that I can help people out on that front. So yeah, appreciate you, Mark. So he's going from being a basement dweller to one of the top players in his leagues, each of his leagues. And he thanks me for it. Well, you're welcome. I'll take 5%. I kid. Just subscribe at ftnfantasy.com and review this show on Apple Podcasts. All right. His question is regarding his draft, 10 team league, two keepers. Keepers are CeeDee Lamb and Devon Achane in the 7th and 8th, drafting 6th. Wondering if his draft dictates that he goes wide receiver heavy before the dead zone. Is Achane a good start for zero RB? Well, he would be, yeah. He said, or should you look at a hero to pair with him? Either one works. So I just had a league almost the exact same spot keeping Achane. I had him in the 9th. I drafted Derrick Henry in the 1st round of that league because he was the highest player on my board. And by a good bit, actually, too, because everybody had 3 keepers in this league. Now it was a super flex keeper, but still the idea still is there. Achane for me is not an anchor. Now he's an awesome hero / zero RB option. So I was happy to do that, but it really is just going to depend on who's on the board at that time. That's really it. So you build your board, you trust your board on draft day. He said, by the way, ladies night is one of my favorite moments to happen on the show. Yeah. On the radio show, ladies night just randomly started playing. This was like 4 years ago, might've been even during COVID. And then we made it into a bit. And then, you know, we used to play it on Fridays on the show. And then there was a point, and I think it was back in like March of this year, where we played it one day and I was just like cringe. I was rolling my eyes and cringing. Like, the listeners aren't there for every second of the show. And I think sometimes people forget, like, I am. And I was like, oh, if I'm cringing, I can't do this bit anymore. So we retired it. Like, you guys can listen to Ladies Night whenever you want. Those who are like, bring it back. No, like Spotify, Pandora, whatever. You can listen to it. It's there. But it's not going to be a bit on this show anymore. We're evolving. I don't want to do the same bits all the time. And I don't really want to do any bits on this podcast, which is nice. So that's why I have it. I save the bits for radio. All right. Let's see. Brian, 9 wide receivers or 7 running backs? Okay. Interesting. Very oddly specific subject here. He said they had their auction draft last week. He left one bench spot that needs to be filled. How did you do that? Didn't you have to complete your roster? he has six running backs. That feels like a little heavy for me. You're gonna end up dropping some of these guys. He's got James Cook, Rashad White, Tajay Spears, Ty Chandler, Bucky Irving, and Blake Corum. So you have three, like two handcuffs and then like a non-priority handcuff in Ty Chandler. He said, would I add another wide receiver or running back? Well, I would add whoever is the top on waivers. I'm going to guess it's not going to be a running back. So that's how I'd approach it. I don't know how you got out of your draft without a full roster, though. All right, let me do one more here. Brendan, team defense out, IDP in. Uh-oh. Some people might know. If you followed me long enough, you know that I used to not be an offensive person. I might have been offensive, but not offensive. I started at PFF in 2010. I did write an offensive article column that year. And then I realized I was working with a guy named Mike Clay, who I was not going to be better than, that was for sure. So I learned a lot from him, but I wanted to like stand out. And so I had played in IDP leagues and I decided, well, maybe I'll do IDP analysis. And then I was, my mindset is, I have to be as good as possible at this. Like I want to be better at this every single day. And maybe just maybe I can be the best person in the industry at this. And I don't think I ever reached that threshold, but I did win some rankings accuracy and things like that. And it got me my first paying job at RotoWorld through IDP. And then in 2016, I stopped playing IDP and literally stopped like altogether. I haven't played in an IDP league in, I'm going to guess 7 years, something like that. I still remember this stuff. And it's not a knock on the IDP people. You know, I love you. It's just not my style. Like I said, I've gone to this sort of like real basic bro approach with fantasy now. And I love it. You know, it's my vibe. Now I do have the experience in the league. So let's see what his question is. He said he loves the show and the content. Thank you. I appreciate that. I really, really do. Like genuinely, I know I come off like a pompous jerk on the radio and that's kind of by design. Like I say, this is a real me. And I am immensely grateful for everybody who follows along, for everybody who gives me the time of day, who gives me a part of their day to listen to this podcast. So thank you. He said, in a 14-team league, the commish made a game-changer decision last week by eliminating team defense and adding three IDP positions. Ah, you have the dictator commish ruling with an iron fist. Okay. No position requirements. Should I just focus on linebacker? What rounds would you focus on drafting your defensive player? So your commissioner did zero research here in switching, because if he did, he would realize that in simply adding three IDP positions, all you're doing is, you know, you're going to favor the people who stream. Some people in your league are going to draft IDP way too early, but every single week, your waiver wire is going to be loaded with IDP. It's nowhere near enough starting spots. Like for it to not be loaded, you need like 8 starting spots and you have to like divide it up. Like say you go two defensive line, 2 defensive back, 3 linebacker and a flex. And then even then you're still going to be able to stream at defensive back every single week. So I would draft IDP with my last 3 picks, and yeah, off-ball linebackers who load up on tackles. I don't know what your scoring system is, but I'm sure it's probably a basic bro scoring system that maybe doesn't even give enough points. If you search Google, by the way, you might even find an article that I wrote long ago about IDP, not team defense, IDP scoring. I think it was like 12 years ago, by the way. That's how long I've been in the industry. So yeah, I would wait to the final 3 rounds. And then if you don't hit on those guys, guess what? Your waiver is going to be loaded every single week, Brendan. All right. So the rantpodjr@gmail.com. I'm going to do another podcast tomorrow. We'll get you set up for this weekend. Biggest fantasy football draft day of the year on Saturday. FTNFantasy.com. Promo code RATPACK for 10% off. I will be doing content. I believe I've been told I should be doing content at my home league drafts. So get ready for that. But I'm going to put it up on Instagram. So if you want to actually see what the farm league draft looks like, I will put that stuff up. Instagram, I am at Jeff Ratcliffe. On Twitter, I'm also at Jeff Ratcliffe. All right, I'll catch you on the flip side for another edition of the pod. I'm Jeff and I'm out.